All right, as you know, maintaining the filling ministry of the Holy Spirit is crucial to the intake of the Word of God. I cannot stress that enough. When people are trying to learn Bible doctrine and they're out of fellowship, they filter this stuff through their sin nature, and the Holy Spirit is quenched, grieved, whatever, and you're not concentrating like you should. This breakdown of what we call the breakdown of the function of GAP, the grace apparatus for perception. It's a grace procedure. You don't have to have a high IQ to learn Bible doctrine or a great educational background. You have to be positive. Sometimes those things can be a stumbling block. The apparatus is the human spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the volition of the individual engaged with the teaching. Perception is the walking away with the correct understanding, not some other version of what I said up here. People were constantly taking Jesus' words and messing up what he was saying. Everything has a context. It's okay to pick verses out to document things for people. That's fine. But everything has to have a context. It's like someone would say, "You took my words out of context." And you can run all kinds of ways when people do that. So, that's my cross to bear. Trying to get this across to people over the years. But there are those, I know I'm doing my job because there are those that get it. And when I have feedback from them, I can say, yeah, without saying to them, "You got that." It just naturally is there with them. And anybody coming out of any kind of religious background, they got a lot of baggage they got to get rid of. They don't even realize it, that they're packing around in their thinking certain ideas and concepts, and they're not biblical. So pray about it. Pray for wisdom. Get past this. All right. Now, having the preceding class, the two categories of the human race, how hard's that? The part that would elude a lot of Christians out there is this positive volition thing at God consciousness. Because there's a mentality that because you're an unbeliever and you're born with a sin nature and you're spiritually dead and all the negatives, that you are just completely out from the womb, just antagonistic as you can be to God. The concept. That is not true. That is not true. Yes, you have a sin nature. Yes, you'll be running around under it and committing all kinds of different stuff. But if you, once you made that identification, it isn't realizing there is a God, a supreme being. It is desiring to know more about him. Hence, positive volition. And then you can go about your merry way, do what you do, bounce around in the cosmos, grope all over the place, try this religion, try that one, get mad and cynical and think, "I can't." I had that as a pre-salvation youth. I tried a couple things up in Hot Springs. I couldn't hack the Catholic thing. I just couldn't get with it because I wasn't being told anything. You get this big thing in Latin and all this stuff going on, and it just kind of creeped me out in the Catholic Church there in that small town. So I went over to the United Church of Christ. That's not Church of Christ like here. That's where we're gonna. Well, how do you want to be baptized? You want to be sprinkled, poured on, or immersed? Because we have Baptists, Methodists, and Presbyterians all happy under one roof. It's called the United Church of Christ. Liberal, even liberal as heck. Very liberal, social gospel, all this business. We could go to church and have a sock hop down in the basement with the kids our age. You don't know what one of those are. Okay, fine. That's all right. Yeah. And the minister would get up and read something from the Psalms. Like, "Oh, he's going to explain this." Oh, no, not a chance. Not a chance. And, you know, and I walk out of there cynical. He talked about his golf game. Now, what that had to do with anything, I don't know. So that just made me, man, all these dummies. And then I get dropped into St. Louis, Catholicsville. But I didn't go to Catholic Church there. That's where I found Christ and came to salvation. I tried a couple other things, and I had a friend in high school, a junior in high school. Oh, why don't you come to my church? Some of the guys came, they're kind of associated, they're getting saved. Of course, I'm a smart ass. I'm saved. Now, what'd you get saved from? See, I'm mocking this. But I'm thinking too, okay? Well, overtly, I might seem to be the last one to be take any interest in it. I went on the first service, I went with an attitude. Well, you're not going to learn anything with an attitude, right? You're not teachable. So next thing I said, I'm going to go here with open, I'm going to listen real careful. And that's when I got saved. Period. And I spent years in that church, not many, before I decided, and I went to Bible school, had friends, and then I got put off by it all. Not the Bible school stuff so much as these preachers, ministers, they're not teaching the Bible. They really are not. Oh, well, you don't need to learn all that. They give me all kinds of... I'm thinking, you're wrong. And that's when I started praying real heavy duty. Because I was about ready to dump the ministry. Do something else. I didn't ever told Brenda. And that's when I got on Bob theme tapes. And the minute I heard it, I knew this was the answer to my prayer. And I'm on the road and I'm on the right track. No more of this fundy mess. Sermons and all this other... Verse by verse, book by book, doctrine by doctrine. Loved it. Ate it up. Couldn't get enough of it. And here we are today. So I had my own journey. Yeah, I had to go to St. Louis because that's where my right woman was. Yep. God knew that. Plus, that's where I got saved. And here we are. Now, last time we saw the two fates of the two categories. Those who do the evil and those who do the good. Negative volition at God consciousness and positive volition at God consciousness. Positive volition at God consciousness will always result in the individual getting a gospel hearing and believing. Someone who is negative at God consciousness, you'll never hear this in the fundamentalist church. Negative at God consciousness, they'll never come around. You can witness to them, you can do it. Why do you think Judas didn't come around spiritually? He saw everything all the other disciples saw. And he perished. It's a little trickier when you're dealing with a Jew that's raised up to be to believe in one God and all the rest. But there is this, there should be at least on the part of one of them, I want to have this right. Apparently Paul was one of those, though he was a hard nut to crack. He finally cracked, became one of the greatest believers of all time. The preceding verses from the last class deals with the two statuses of the human race as it ends up at the at the end, when everyone's judged according to their deeds. We learned that there is, on the part of positive volition, even in the pre-salvation state, a certain perseverance. They don't give up. Don't judge them by what they do. They can commit all kinds of sins. That's irrelevant. It's that they're wanting to know something. And so, here's the thing. If all this creation out here speaks of a supernatural event by somebody who has to be very powerful, unseen, eternal, even and has as character some norms and standards, and is kind and is able, if he can do this, what else could be done? Obviously, you can look around and see people and things are dying. There are some negatives in all of this. Could he created it without? No, yes, but you have to get the Bible story to get that all figured out. There are some negatives in the creation. But still, all the rest speaks of this supreme being. And so those who by perseverance in doing good seek for all the things that go with immortality, foreverness. And that is glory. People like glory, a lot of people do. Honor, and those things. On the other hand, the unbeliever, he is selfishly ambitious. It's my way. No thought about, I'm going to defer, if I can find something out, I'll defer to God. He's selfishly ambitious. His ambition isn't to please the Creator, it's to do his own thing. Period. Selfishly ambitious. Only here in this way is used this way. And do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, whatever he gets into, under his negative volition. What's he get? He gets it in the neck. Wrath and indignation from God. And what he will suffer is tribulation, distress on every soul of man who does the evil. That's his eternal state in hell, ultimately the lake of fire, where he suffers body and soul. And maybe the worst part of it, besides the fact you can't get out of here, this isn't a prison where you at least can get out of this prison if you die in it. You can't die in it. You can't kill yourself. And what do you have? You have your memories from your life on earth, and they don't give you a bit of pleasure. Your marriage, your career, your big experiences you had, you don't sit around and reflect on those. It just eats your lunch. That's what God puts those who reject Jesus Christ under. And he would prefer to save everybody, but that's left to the individual. And he isn't up there feeling bad about it. You do what you have to do to maintain who and what he is. So there'll be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does the evil of the Jew first and the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who does the good, to the Jew first and also the Greek. All right. Then this is a perfect spot for Paul to add the statement, for there is no partiality with God. He doesn't play favorites based on anything you want to say about people. People play favorites. He doesn't play it. None. For there is no strong negative. Prosopolypsia. This particular word means favoritism. And it occurs in these verses as well. The last one, the James one, is that we're not to play favorites in the local church. In the sense of pushing people back for this reason or that. With God. Para with a definite article, theos. Now before you draw any conclusions, let me explain. For all who have sinned without the law, there is no definite article. In fact, for all, whoever, nominative plural of the pronoun, osos, for all without law, is take the word law, nomos in the Greek, and put the alpha privative on it, and you have anomos, without law. All who have sinned, aorist indicative of harmartano, without law, will perish without law. Apolumi means to perish, future tense, indicative, also. Again, the adverb, anomos. And all who have sinned under law, I left that out, same sin. All who have sinned, aorist indicative, hamartano, who have sinned under law. Actually, it's a preposition in law, but that's fine. Preposition in. Nomos will be judged. Future passive indicative, because that parallels the above up here with nomos law. Continuing. For it is not the hearers of the law who are just before God. In other words, people who have been instructed. For it is not the hearer, akroates, hearer of law. It is. You'll notice here you have a definite article and you have a capital L. Well, there's no definite article at this point. It's just law. For it is not hearers of law who are dikaios, just or righteous, before God, para with theos, but, strong adversity, the doers. But doers. Now we have a definite article with poietes, a doer of law, will be justified. Sounds confusing, doesn't it? Future passive indicative, dikaiao, be justified, and we're introduced to the doctrine of justification by faith. But in this way. For when Gentiles who do not have, now we have the definite article. Drives me nuts. No, it doesn't really. For when Gentiles who do not have the law. Gentiles had law. Had moral, I mean, they had criminal and civil codes. They had a law system. That's not what he's saying here. For when Gentiles, the word Gentiles is a plural neuter noun, ethnos. We get ethnic. It's in a plural, so we'll go with Gentiles. For when Gentiles who do not have, present active participle, law, the article with nomos, do is poieo, present active subjunctive mode, and then phusis is the Greek noun for nature. Who do by nature or do instinctively the things of the law, are a law to themselves. Negative may do not have, echo themselves. In that, they show the work of the law written in their hearts. And of course, he's dealing with pagan Gentiles of his time who do not have, they were not raised up under the Mosaic law, and in that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, who show or demonstrate, in, like pneumai, the work of the law. Now we have the definite article again, correctly here, referring to the Mosaic law versus law in general, written, this is an adjective, graptos, written in, preposition, hearts. It expands on this. Their conscience, synodesis, that's the noun, the conscience, the universal conscience. Their conscience bearing witness. To bear witness, to give witness, is sum martireo. The martireo is just to witness something, testify to something. This is our conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts. Thoughts is logismos, with the definite article, between one another. Metazu, between one another, accusing, present participle, kat, egregreo, and defend, apologeomai, defend oneself. I know, Okay. We have a sentence that starts in verse 12. And try to diagram that one. We had to do that in school when I was in school, way back in. We had to diagram sentences till we were. So we learned the language. I don't know, do they do that anymore? On the day, because you can lose your antecedents real quick here. On the day when, according to my gospel, euangelion, he says my gospel, not because he's the author of it, but he has adopted it as his gospel. When on the day when, according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Jesus Christ. God will judge the secrets, that's a plural word, kryptos, of men. It'll be according to my gospel, he will judge the secrets of men. Again, a reference to future judgment. All right, let's just kind of start with this. This is heavy duty. But you wanted Romans. Okay. Verse 11 constitutes a transition between what precedes and what follows. It's transitional. Paul asserts the equity of God's dealing with mankind. No one is exempt from the requirement to make the salvation, rebound, and maturity adjustments to God to gain the benefits. No one's exempt. Nobody. But the primary emphasis here is on the salvation adjustment. Salvation adjustment sets you up for the rebound and maturity adjustments. Even the priority of the Jew grants him no immunity from the consequences of negative volition. 5. The criteria as to who goes into eternal blessedness and who goes into eternal torment is based on, again, the above, who did the good and who did the evil. The Jew who does the evil deed, negative volition of God consciousness, is only different from his Gentile counterpart based on the priority of privilege to the Jew first. The advantages given the Jew under the covenants, the series of covenants, Abrahamic, Davidic, the Abrahamic covenant promised Abraham's seed, those that were like Abraham, he promised him innumerable descendants, racial and otherwise, real estate, and all of this forever. It's a forever covenant. And those Jews who line up and follow at least Abraham's example in becoming a believer, which we'll get to that in coming chapters, when Abraham believed and all the other things. Then there is the Davidic covenant, and there's the new covenant. As the chosen people are the basis for the priority of privilege principle, the Jew first. The Jew has made a big through God's grace, the Jew has made a big contribution. They brought the Messiah into the world. All of them contributed contributed in one way or another. Whatever they were doing, they were perpetuating one generation to the next as a people coming down to the time of Christ. Salvation is of the Jews. Jesus is Jewish. So abuse of this principle carries a greater measure of condemnation at the last judgment. Any system of theology which affirms that God shows partiality is corrupt and blasphemous. Example, Calvinism. It's a perfect example. They say, John Calvin, he was a reformer. When a bunch of these Christians were breaking from the Catholic Church, a good thing, there was Martin Luther, Lutheranism. John Calvin, Presbyterianism. Now, modern Presbyterianism has fragmented into liberal and conservative and all that, as with Lutherans. There's conservative Lutherans and there's liberal ones. So, never mind. just all that happens down the road. But John Calvin developed a system under the acronym TULIP. T for total depravity, which isn't absolutely true. Man isn't totally depraved 24/7. We'd all have destroyed ourselves. U, unconditional election. I might go with that one. Basically, that one is saying that once saved, always saved. So I'll go with the U. I like the U out of it. But the this is the only killer one, but this is probably the worst of all the groups. L, limited atonement. He said, God in eternity past picked certain people to be saved and left the others to go to hell. That's classic Calvinism. Limited atonement. In other words, Christ didn't die for everybody. He just died for those he wanted to save. And then they go on with this mess. It's really blasphemous. And Calvin was a big scholar. He's written commentaries. He says a lot of good stuff about a lot of things. But he had this poisoning system, this limited atonement mess. And then there's I in the tulip. Irresistible grace. That nobody under the convicting of ministry of the Holy Spirit can resist the Holy Spirit. Because that violates somehow the sovereignty of God. Really. It's God's sovereign will it all be saved. So is God being frustrated? And then P. Perseverance of the saints. That means if you're a real believer, you will never permanently go off into reversionism and stay there till death. Really? What a mess. I just wanted to review TULIP for you. In other words, it just flies in the face. God does not show partiality. It's a whole system. And some of the people that are in it, they're just as fanatical as they can be about this mess. Well, they bought the poison. I just wanted to throw that one in. What do people know about all these different systems and different versions of Christianity that have arisen through the centuries? Well, here's one for you that you wouldn't want to be a part of. God is bound by the same canons of justice that man lives by. Period. So God isn't free just to do anything, or he wouldn't be righteous. So, I will let you go. We'll pick up with the noun partiality means to show favoritism. You can go out of here and know that God doesn't think any less of you or any more of you than any other person ever lived, regardless of their station in life or any other variables about them. Their race, their gender, their nationality, any of it. He does not show partiality. People do it right and left. They do it all through high school and everywhere else. There's a level of favoritism. God doesn't show favoritism. We're all equal before him and are dealt with accordingly. Thank you, Father, for the time together. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.